This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 244 of the Countdown Podcast. Today, me and the boy, we gonna thrill you right in the ass. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. It's Michael Jackson's Thriller up in here.
Oh, nice one. Well done.
Because we are doing the top 10 thrillers of the decade. 2010 to 2019. And this, by the way, is the podcast we count down movies and sometimes television order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. I got all excited because I came up with that thriller joke on the spur of the moment.
On the spot, did you?
That's the kind of humor you're in for here.
Don't turn off yet.
Give us a chance. Give us another couple of minutes and see how you feel. So it's the first of our month-long celebration of the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell it is. The teens, the 20s.
Teens. Teens. It's got to be the teens.
Not very exciting.
The aughts and then the teens and then the
20s.
20s, yeah.
The 20s again. Ooh, the roaring 20s
I
back
know,
again.
Right? I know. I'm going to zoot suit. Fuck it.
That is scary AF. So today, thrillers. Then we got three other shows and lead up to the end of the year before we actually get to the best of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there may be some little tidbits towards the best of the year shows here, depending on what you thought of 2019 overall.
We know what Paul thought. Go on.
That's the way this show is going to roll. But before we get there, we start every show or every episode with a segment that we call...
Fuck off! Fuck off! It's called the recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
Fuck Paul.
Wayne gets upset that I call it the recount because apparently it's called the recount. Yes, it is. That's just our theme song for it. And this is where we do a little bit of recap slash return to last week's show and the feedback that we've received thereof. Now, people may be aware if you're a regular listener to the show, and if you're not, welcome. It's great to have you on board. That we're trying to raise a bit of money through the podcasting for the Rural Fire Service of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited other podcasters to, if they want to contribute, to do a No Swear episode or in some way throw it out there. Well, we had our first taker during the leak. So I want to thank Melissa from the Brook Reading Podcast, who went ahead and did her own episode where she tried to do No Swears and came up with $21.
Nice.
Worst of swear. If you haven't listened to it, it's episode 75, Brook Reading Podcast. Please check it out. It's pretty funny.
She's better than us. She's like, in terms of like not cussing, that's...
No,
like...
she was better. But the point is... Like, initially, she's, like, getting annoyed at herself for it, and then eventually she does this little sigh as she throws another pen into a cup a dollar. It was very, very good. So thank you so much to Melissa for making that effort, and you are all invited to do the same. So Chris from the Faces and Aces podcast also wants to contribute, so Rural Fire Service Association of Australia. Chris, thank you so much for your contribution as well. Green Korean on Twitter if you want to follow Chris there. Very, very generous individual. So that's two... Bunch of other of you out there. I know Nick from the Film Guys is planning to do it for their Worst of the Year show.
I think podcasters are like dog owners. They just tend to be a bit nicer. Nice people.
Yeah, I think that's
fair.
They
just tend to be nice people. Yeah.
Very sporty community for the most part as well. Speaking of, we got a great review from Oco Duro Parlay Hour, which is another podcast. One of the best podcasts out. Paul and Wayne absolutely crush it each episode. If you love movies, this podcast has to be in your playlist. Subscribe now.
Kind.
Thank you so, so much for that. And then also sent us a little bit of a message saying about last week's show, the martial arts episode.
Yeah.
He said, I had to say, martial arts ep was great. And I'm a huge Last Dragon fan for all the cheesiness that it is. That's one on your list, obviously. Sure enough, had the best one-liners. Great job. I need to watch me this film.
I think you do, but be drunk or something when you do it.
Now, before we get to the results of last week's show, I want to throw in here a couple of emails here we had from Cody.
Cody.
He wrote in following our Terminator Dark Fate review
and
basically said he kind of uses us a bit of a litmus. He has a very similar mindset to reviews that we all give and he thought very similar thoughts about Terminator Dark Fate. But here's the thing I wanted to highlight from his email. I've now been listening to the show for almost 2 years. I've absolutely loved every second I've wasted listening to Wayne's laugh. And I'd also like to add that you guys inspired me to do my graduation project as a podcast. Just wanted to say thanks for the help that you guys gave me with that. And lastly, I found that I've really enjoyed reviewing films and critiquing them. Thanks for the inspiration and keeping the fight on terrible films. P.S. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. P.S. Eat my ass, Wayne!
Nice one. And pretty wicked on the whole podcast. I didn't even know you could do that now.
So it's great you can do it as a graduation project. How good is it to inspire someone to create their own podcast? So thank you for that, Cody. Now, he followed up with an email this week following last week's show, again, the top 10 martial arts film.
Mm.
He said, great job in the last episode. But why in the fuck is Bloodsport in the top half of a list?
Whoa.
Even in the realm of martial arts, this movie is still complete and utter garbage. Please recall Ray Jackson for me and how ignorant the final fight shindig was. Paul Verhoeven makes a better and more complete film with Showgirls than this bullshit.
Whoa, dude, you don't like the sport? Yo, shit, okay.
If A, only Cody was a member of the Facebook community, and B, more people shared his opinion because the final results of that were very one-sided. I did call it at the time. I did get my 10 votes. I was a bit worried there for a while. I got 19.
Yeah, that's way more than 10.
At one stage, it looked very, very grim, I have to say. I, however, forgot to turn off the extra ad options.
And so I saw that.
What beat me was, we're the real winners because, once again, the poll is open, added by Beezy's or Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast. That got 22 votes. But you trumped all, Wayne, with your list, 43 votes. Huh. Well done to you, sir.
I thought that was going to go badly for me, honestly.
Easy, easy victory to tie it up again at 16 apiece for the year. Some of the other feedback. Well, Stephen Croon said, Wayne has TMNT, The Karate Kid, and Bloodsport. Actually, had to Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah.
I'm a little annoyed that you forget credit for The Karate Kid. This was a no-brainer, according to Steve. Caleb and Dan from the Netflix and Swill podcast, very passionate defense against you getting any votes while you have this sword that I'm still staring at in your room. That's the only reason I got their votes.
Just for the record, there's a lot of chatter about how swords are dangerous and kill people.
It's a gag they have going on their show.
Okay, good. Because I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
Or it relates to their uni days, I believe, and indeed. So,
Yeah,
it's an old story there. Mike T said he deducted a Wayne point because you didn't tell the story about skewering an eye through your hand.
Do you want me to tell you a story now?
Oh, I think you probably should.
Okay.
May have referenced it in a long ago episode.
Possibly. But, yeah. Okay, this is how stupid a man I am and how dumb a child I was. Once learning martial arts, I learned to throw knives. I can do it. I can also throw axes. Apparently, that's a thing now. I was in the backyard. I was 15 years old, and I had a lemon tree because I'm Asian. And just trust me, that's a thing.
Okay, if you say so.
If an Asian grows up in Australia, he's got a lemon tree. All right. So I'm like, throwing stuff around the backyard very quick, carelessly. And then I picked up a lemon and I thought, this will be funny. I'll throw the lemon in the air and see if I can skewer it with a knife, like in the air.
Hot damn.
Almost impossible. But guess what? I did it. Threw it up. Whoom, bam. Nailed it. I'm like, holy shit. I'm obviously fucking Batman. So I tried it again and I was very nonchalant about it. And basically somehow the poor coordination ended with me throwing the lemon in the air, but also letting the knife go from my thrust at the same time. And when I took my hand down, the knife was sticking in my hand. Pretty, like, almost fucking. Anyone who listens to our Flash Gordon review on Patreon will know that Paul just fucking added that to his soundboard. Anyway, yes, the knife was almost all the way through my hand. I walked in, there was blood everywhere. My mother freaks out. My dad goes, idiot. And then I had to have lots of stitches. I have had a knife in my hand, self-inflicted. There's still a scar. It looks kind of cool, and I get bitches with it. So
all true except the last part.
Yeah, I don't get bitches with anything.
All right, there is the story. Thank you for that, Mike T. A couple other comments from the Facebook community about how you triumphed so significantly. Tammy Davis said, Wayne gets my vote because he loves Romeo Must Die and The Last Dragon. That's a good man right there. Show enough.
My girl, Tammy. What's up?
Etienne Fillion Xavier said, Wayne's list has a lot of range.
So me.
That one too. I haven't watched a single film by either Steven Scale or JCVD, but maybe after this, I will get on that. I don't know if you need to.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, we've already cracked him so much. Although, I still think Hard to Kill is the one. If you're going to get it. Maybe Under Siege. I don't know.
Probably Under Siege. Joe Blakemore said, sorry, Paul, no TMNT equals no vote from me. I got a couple of people who weighed in my corner.
Yeah, people on your side.
Rob Walters said, on its face, Wayne's list has me, but the knock he had against TMNT 2 didn't make me feel good, so I got to go with Paul.
So you like Vanilla Ice in that movie? All right, man.
David Powell said, well, I never saw that coming. Karate Kid 2, TMNT. What the fuck, Wayne? I thought this was supposed to be your jam,
son. It was eclectic, but I understand.
He said Paul's most convincing victory of the year turns out to be a genre he probably only knows 10 films in. That's accurate, David, but it wasn't that much of a convincing victory. I think we all agree.
Hey.
There you are. That's how you vote for the list. Head on over to the our Facebook listed community.
Mm-hmm.
Join up link is in the show notes there. And you can vote for who wins this list when we get into the top 10 thrillers of the 2010s on the other side of this music tour. The top 10 thrillers of the 2010s.
Well, that was kind of odd.
This week's topic, as you're already aware, I had trouble with this list.
So did I.
Because here's the thing about doing genres. Some of these films cross genres.
Well, I had, because we had this discussion, and it was also on the thing about we'll just say it, Inception. Yep. Which you think would probably be on the top of the list.
Yep.
It would have probably been near mine.
Yep.
And then Paul said, well, actually, there's a sci-fi element to it, so perhaps it's more sci-fi. Or it's definitely a thriller, but it's a sci-fi thriller.
It's a crime film, a heist film, a thriller, a sci-fi. It's a romance. It's a drama. It's got all those genres. In the end, I made the call based on Wikipedia and IMDb agreeing that it was more sci-fi than anything else. So I went, all right, let's just call it a sci-fi.
Now, that is... I went with that because now it's a sort of a more... Because that's an obvious one in there. And you shop it out, that's a good thing.
But there's some other ones, though.
Yes. There's one that I had to take out because of that.
Yeah,
that's
obvious. Go on. Yeah, Looper. Sure. Yeah.
Looper is a wonderful thriller, but it's very sci-fi.
I absolutely put that in sci-fi list for sure. Okay, so I think that's a good decision. Not on my list at all. That's the only ones we talked about, but some of those that are on my list versus those that aren't, that I'm maybe saving for dramas, maybe I'm saving for sci-fi. I don't think we're far ahead. Six of one, half dozen of the other. Really, really is. So we'll just have to see how we go with this. But if we'll talk about like if it's missing out. Here's why I left it out, because it didn't quite hit the thriller elements for me. But gee, I had 13, 14 films I was warring with right up until about an hour before recording.
So I got a long honorable mentions list too.
Took this very, very seriously. Take every topic very seriously, unless it's got romance in the title.
Probably too seriously.
All right. Well, why don't you lead away this week?
All right, man.
Last week. What's your number 10, Wayne?
My number 10 thriller of the 2010s. Is probably also one of my favorite sit down and watch it, can watch it anytime movies. It's Limitless with Bradley Cooper in it.
Definitely a thriller.
Okay, so basically, this is a show about a loser who somehow still looks like Bradley Cooper.
Stretching credibility already.
Oh, yeah. Now, he's facing unemployment and his girlfriend's rejection. So, Bradley Cooper, he's playing a guy named Eddie Mora, who's a writer, and he has like no future. But it all changes when his old friend gives him a drug, which looks really cool because it's a clear pill. And that drug produces enhanced mental acuity, like right off the charts. And he gets stoked on this untested chemical. Then he rises to the top of the financial world, becomes better looking, cleans his apartment. All this shit happens, all right? And
one of those things could happen without the aid of a medication.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's... What you know what's cool about this movie? Once he takes the pill, the movie is shot. The first, like, I don't know, half the first act is dank on purpose. Like, the light is low. And then when he takes the pill, it brightens up. So... Right?
Okay.
And then the first thing he does is he cleans his shitty apartment. And I think that is actually the first step. If anyone's out there looking to pick up and reinvent their life, here's what you do. Clean your house. All right? Clean it real good and then go work out. That's what I reckon happens. Okay?
Do you reckon at the end of that process, or indeed when Bradley Cooper's character took the pill, he was a bit like,
yeah!
Do you reckon that's what plays through his head permanently?
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm still reeling from the fact that you're using this Flash Gordon shit. All right. Anyway, the movie itself has freaking Robert De Niro in it as well. And basically, it seems to be this kind of film which is oddly life-affirming, but also drug-related, but not really because there's a nice ending. I just love the film. It's your typical like wish fulfillment, but it's really well.
I enjoyed it. I certainly know it in my list, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a personal choice. I just love it. Yeah. If you're feeling a little bit shit, just pick yourself up, go see some Limitless. I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, from that film to feel good to one you wouldn't probably watch to feel good, and that is Anish Chaganti, who is a debut director's film from last year, Searching.
Oh, the John Cho one.
The John Cho one.
Yeah, that surprised me at how good it was.
His daughter disappears, and the whole film is him trying to investigate and find out where she's gone. On a computer screen. The whole film is him going between different apps and web pages and Facebook and the whatever.
Hacking her and stalking her.
Yeah, stalking her to find her, of course.
Sure.
And indeed, the detective is trying to help him out, and the way it all plays out with an ending, which I have to say, it's pretty damn good. Very satisfying.
No, it's good. And I think, obviously, as a father yourself, obviously, this would hurt, it would hit you a bit harder than it hit me. But I was just, the way it was executed... This could easily go wrong, but it didn't.
No, it could have been terrible. And I thought it was going to be. So I watched it with no hope whatsoever or no,
always
no positivity.
A good thing.
And it therefore worked for me even better. And the opening 10 minutes of this film, which are pretty much a montage of their life as a family and the loss of the mum.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive.
No, it's actually...
It's emotional. It resonates
very much so.
And it really establishes the bond between father and daughter in a way that I'm not sure conventional filmmaking could have done in such a short period of time.
That's a good point. That's a really well-edited scene. Yeah, Searching. You should check it out.
So that's my number 10 there, sneaking on the list.
Nice one. Unexpected. My number 9 is a movie called The Town.
Ah, okay.
Now, I like this one. You know what? So the movie is about Ben Affleck, who leads a band of these ruthless bank robbers in Boston. And he has like no real attachments to anyone except for Jeremy Renner, who's like a really dangerous dude, but it's kind of like a brother to him. And everything changes for him when this hostage is taken, which is a hot woman, Claire Keezy. And she's so basically her and Ben Affleck sort of have a thing going, but he has to keep it from Jeremy Renner, who's a bit of an asshole. And it is a film, it's a heist movie, a bank heist movie. And it, if you looked, if I just told you the plot, which I won't do, it seems like your standard run-of-the-mill heist film, like a bank movie. But for some reason, and I think this is why Ben Affleck went and made like other movies that some worked well, some didn't, but his direction or his treatment of it made it maybe cool, a little cool, and a little more than it just would have been a heist movie. I think the Jeremy Renner character does something for the dangerousness of the film, and it's sort of like... Okay. You're supposed to like him, but he's kind of a prick, but then what do you do, and what's the outcome of that? Very, very cool. I liked The Town. I could watch it any time.
Okay, I've only seen it the once.
Yeah?
And it was a long time ago. 2012, this one?
Yeah. Damn, you're good. All right, yeah, nice.
And I enjoyed it, but I don't... It didn't sort of resonate with me the way that you're talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I've never watched it again.
This is the thing. Like, low down on my list are these movies that I can just watch over and over and over. And then sort of higher up are the ones I go, God damn, that blew me away, but I haven't seen them as often. So, there you are.
Yeah, or whatever way you've chosen to do, I guess, well, that will come out in due course. Mm-hmm. My number nine is a film that made the top 10 of the year. It came out 2017. It's Wind River, directed by Taylor Sheridan.
Oh, what a good choice. That's a good choice.
Yeah, I think this is a quintessential thriller. Like, it's a thriller through and through... It's not a drama. It's nothing else. It's just a straightforward thrill. And it's a film about an FBI agent, Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner again.
The link, yeah. Teaming up with Elizabeth Olsen's... she's the FBI agent. Teaming up with him. He's a local tracker.
Mm.
And they're trying to find a missing Native American young girl.
Mm.
Well, young a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And how things go from there on a reservation. So
I think
the bleakness, the starkness of the land, white, white of the snow, the brutality, the violence when it takes place... It struck a chord for me, this one. It's really atmospheric.
It is.
It's really well written and directed by Taylor Sheridan, the guy who wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water.
Yeah. Now, this is a movie that is... I definitely appreciate it and I agree with you, but I'll never watch it again because there's some horrible moments in this movie. And it's... But that's important so that you feel the show. Side note, Jeremy Renner's rifle is cool. It's like this white rifle and it's like a fucking lever action and it's got a sight on it. Very
yeah,
cool.
I'm looking at it here on the promo picture on Letterboxd.
So. Yeah, I was like, ooh, fucking that's sweet. I want that rifle.
Yeah, I dug this movie a lot. I thought it
yeah.
was
no, it's very, very, very well good. Made. Very well made. Nice. Okay. My number eight is a movie called Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, okay. This was on a lot of critics' lists for this genre of the year. I liked it, but I don't know.
I was surprised how much I liked it. Catherine Bigelow movie, 2012, and it was, of course, about the hunt for Osama bin Laden. And it was an odd one, this one, because Catherine Bigelow had shot a lot of it when, before releasing it, Osama bin Laden was, in fact, captured. And so
she had been killed.
So then she had to change the whole thing. And she went back and reshot a lot of it and basically
It changed on the fly.
She made it about SEAL Team 6, and basically it's got Jessica Chastain and surprisingly Chris Pratt in it for a bit at the end. But I didn't know what it would be, and I didn't know how she was going to handle the shot. And that was a big thing that everyone was talking about. But it really outlines kind of, yes, the fog of war, yes, the bureaucracy that stops and starts things and whatever, and how it all went down. And the movie itself, I didn't expect it to be so action-packed. I thought it was going to be like, because Catherine Bigelow doesn't necessarily do these. It's not action so much. It's definitely thriller, but I was on the edge of my seat the whole movie.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know. Again, because I think I wasn't expecting much. I thought it was going to be more arty or something.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot, but expectations are huge.
Huge!
In terms of shaping your response to a film. Look, it's a good choice. I think it's a good film. It didn't resonate with me the same.
I haven't watched it again, but I want to. It's like, it's that much. And I love Jessica Chastain.
Okay. I wonder how many crossovers we'll have on this list.
Doesn't seem like there's much so many, yeah. Okay.
I suspect...
There's got to be a few.
There's at least one, maybe two, maybe. My number eight is a film, which I don't know how you feel about it. And it's one that, when I initially watched it, I didn't give it as much credit as I have. It's one of those ones that creep into your psyche over time and get better and better the more you think about it.
All right.
Largely for the central performance by Jake Gyllenhaal. My number eight is Nightcrawler.
Oh, Lou!
Okay.
That's a great... Well, you know what? It's a great, if not rewatchable movie. How's that?
I don't think it's very rewatchable at all.
No.
And unless you want to watch an acting tour de force, and I can't believe that Jake Gyllenhaal was not nominated.
I actually can't believe it either.
It's astounding
to me.
What's
he doing in that performance? He's sitting there
he's so creepy.
Yeah, he's nuancing on purpose, little odd like head shakes.
Yep.
He looks off at you to the side of his eye, and then just what he's doing is putting you slightly off. Very cool.
Some films with a central performance really put me off because that's all they're basing it on. And
yeah.
I think of something like There Will Be Blood. I know that doesn't make me very popular to say that I don't like that movie very much. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing in it.
I haven't seen it.
But the whole fucking film is so long and drawn out.
That's why, because I keep hearing that from you.
Whereas Nightcrawler is a much tighter film. It's from a debut director, Dan Gilroy, who went on to do Velvet Buzzsaw earlier this year, which no one liked anywhere near as much.
No.
So that's why I come back to Jake Gyllenhaal as being
no,
the
this
real...
guy is an actor and a half. Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of great... Bill Paxton's in this movie and Rene
right.
Russo. So there's a lot of great supporting characters as well. Riz Ahmed, of course, is his sort of his assistant.
That's
and
right.
Whatever, and
that's right. And he becomes like a basically, well, what's called a night...
Nightcrawler.
As in a cameraman
yes.
who goes out and looks for shit to shoot that can go on the evening
that
news.
That he can then sell to the evening news for you know, so if he can get to the scene of a crime or an accident and get the gory footage, they will pay more for it if no one else has that footage.
And that's
stopping.
The thing. There's a bunch of these people out there and he has to get to the crime scene before anyone. But because he's insane and weird, he kind of makes it his thing and he sort of excels at it, but he's a bit of a bastard.
Oh, and yeah, very, very sleazy and all the rest of it. So just a wonderful performance, and that's why it crawled its way up.
Oh, well done.
To number 8.
Side note, me and Paul have had a crush on Rene Russo for many years, starting with God knows when.
But Major League.
Major League, that's where it started. Continued through to like Get Shorty.
Thomas Crown Affair.
Thomas Crown Affair. She showed her tay-tays in that. Big surprise
Real
for me.
Real side note, two of them. In fact, when Wayne saw said tay-tays.
Oh, God, here it comes.
Yeah!
Okay. I don't like that I'm liking that more and more. I don't like that. All right.
Over to you, sir.
Righto. My number 7, I'm just going to guess, is going to be on your list unless you don't consider this a thriller. Get Out. What?
No.
Cracker, please.
Horror.
Really?
I think it's a horror film.
It's a fucking thriller. All right, fine. I think it's a thriller. Let's just see how this goes.
Yeah, look, it would be on my list.
It would be if you
if
would consider
I thought
it
was a thriller, but
how's it not a thriller?
Look, it could be both ways.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
That's this list.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. It's a good call. Totally respect it, and I'll probably lose the vote based on that alone because everyone seems to be jumping on me for every little mistake. But I just assumed it was a horror film because that's the way I didn't even look at it.
It's definitely how it's played. But the thing, I guess, why I put it on my list is that I expected a horror, but I think I got a thriller with a horror element to it.
And I'll tell you why, because in our bonus episode we did a couple 6 weeks or so ago with Sam from Movies and Tweakers,
yep,
he had on his top 10 horrors of the year.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
And I probably said, I think it's a thriller. At that point, I can't remember.
Well, to me, because it was light on the gore but heavy on the suspense, I kind of went that way. But let's that aside, this movie here, because what I always shoot for with a movie is satisfaction. This was a highly satisfying movie, and I've saw it a couple times now. The red herrings, or not red herrings, but just the little like the nods that they're giving you that should give you a clue to the end are all there. I didn't pick them up the first time, and unfortunately, this is the only good Jordan Peele movie. So,
100% disagree.
Us is shit. Us is a shit movie.
We'll talk at the end of the year show, shall
All
we?
All right, Cracker, we'll see. All right. But yeah, Get Out, excellent movie. Definitely social commentary on the side of a thriller.
On the side? I think
well,
it's front and center. Yeah.
Yeah, but like a social thriller? Great.
Yep.
Do it. And executed well. Fantastic. Nice work.
Yeah. For my own personal perspective, I probably should have had it on here. It probably would be around this point or even slightly lower.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I put it really high on the list and it moved down as I thought of new ones. That's how this one worked out. But
yeah, it's just that everybody talked about it as a horror.
Agree. And to be fair, the ending, there was an original ending to this show that did not go so well for certain characters.
Absolutely would have been a horror film.
Would have totally been a horror film. Yep. But yeah, there you go. All right. Get Out. Now, Paul, get out there and give us your number 7.
Boom.
Thank you.
Just for the record, IMDb has Get Out as a horror mystery thriller. So, there you
go. Okay, legit.
Gets, either way, it can be on the list or not on the list on that basis.
Word.
My number 7 is Denis Villeneuve film.
Denis Villeneuve. Yeah,
it's Prisoners.
No.
Oh. I remember having to talk you into seeing this film.
You did. And because, and I think I only saw it after I saw Arrival.
Yeah, okay.
Because of that. I'm like, if he did this, I'll watch that. Good Lord. Excellent. Excellent film. Hugh Jackman, J to the G, Gyllenhaal.
Yep, again.
Oh, this guy is a thriller
Terrence Howard.
Wow. Tell us what
Paul
it's about.
Paul Dano.
Tell
so basically, this film follows a father and or a family who lose their daughter gets kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
and Hugh Jackman is the father, and his mate is Terrence Howard, and he thinks it's the local
weirdo,
like on the spectrum, Paul Dano, and they effectively kidnap him and start torturing him for information about where the daughter is and whether she's alive and all the rest of it. And the complexities of that, and Jake Gyllenhaal is the detective investigating the kidnapping and how it all plays out from there in a very... It's a long film, like 2.5 hours from memory.
Yeah,
but it does hold you firmly in its grasp the entire
thing
time.
That's complex, but... Well, presents a challenge, shall we say, is that the Paul Dano character is like handicapped on some level.
Yes.
So now he has to...
I can't remember if he's intellectually disabled or if he's on the...
But he has trouble communicating. Yes. So he is then being interrogated by getting burned and shit like that. And oh God, it's so tough. But because you're not sure if he's not giving it up because he doesn't know or because he hasn't got the capacity to give it up or he's just lying. Or, yeah. And you...
I always come back to Reservoir Dogs in any torture scene. I always come back to Chris Penn saying... If you wail on this guy long enough,
yeah, he'll tell you
the goddamn Chicago Fire that doesn't necessarily make a fucking song.
Exactly. And that's the problem with this film. And what's cool about it is you as the audience member are kept in the dark the whole time. So you are having the same problem Hugh Jackman is having. And even he is not a bad man. He just has to get his daughter back. And what are you not stopping?
And as a father, like...
Of course.
Occasionally have those dark thoughts about what you would do to protect your family.
Apparently, that is every... I'm not a parent, but it's normal for every parent. You just start thinking about horrible shit happening to your kid because now you've got the capacity to have that. So it's not unusual, but of course.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not saying I fantasize about it.
Of course not.
Just saying
you're scared. That's what you think about it. Yeah.
Fear, like, how far would I go for her? And the answer is a fucking long way.
Dude, let me ask you this as a dad. So would you do that? Would probably. You do what Hugh probably, right? Because fucking you ain't got no
options. I
don't
want to be tested. I don't even want
dear
that
God,
to be,
no. Dear know. God, no. I so hope that, you know,
my point is, though, that, yeah, you would, like, someone hurts your kid.
There's nothing you don't stop
just
at, right?
Instinctively, someone pushes your kid over. I'm like,
I'm going to cut that motherfucker open. Straight up, right? Even if it's another kid. Especially if
it's kid. Funny. It's funny why that works. And I guess every parent is dealing with something similar, you know, that protectiveness, which is hardwired into you. So that's why this film resonated for me because my daughter's very young when I watched this particular film. And now she's of an age probably with a kid in the film. If I went back and rewatched it, which I don't plan on doing because it's a hard watch, it's pretty dark.
No, that's real tough, guys.
But it's on your list as well.
I would recommend it to anyone, honestly. Oh,
yeah, it's a very well-crafted film. Again, anchored by some amazing performances.
Totally. Prisoners.
I think Maria Bello is the wife everybody's good. There's not a weak performance.
Because there's a kick-ass director who kicks. He just kills. So he's great. Nice work. Mm. All right. Nice one. Definitely on my list. My number six, speaking of child-related stuff, is Shutter Island.
Yeah. I knew this would be on your list, and lots of people picked it. And if you haven't won already, now you have, and that's fine. But for me, this film, I picked it 20 minutes in, does not have the same impact on me.
How did you picked it 20 minutes in?
I know it sounds like I'm bragging, but it was so obvious to me. And I don't know why it is. Maybe it's the psychologist hat, which I sometimes wear. Mm. But I saw an exchange between Ruffalo and Leonardo DiCaprio, and a look from one of the other characters at that point, and I just went, oh, it's all fake.
Was it when he dropped the gun?
I don't want to say any more than that.
Okay, all right.
And look, it's 2010, this film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just creeps
just
in.
Just creeps in.
If you haven't watched this film yet, I'm sorry, you don't give a shit enough. So you can spoil it if you want to spoil it.
No, I'm not going to spoil it. But what I will tell you, though, is that the scene in question involving the children, I am a childless man who had wild problems with that scene. It was so dark and it was so horrible. And Leo's performance is so believable. And the girl, what's her name? I can't remember her name, sorry. But the chick, she was...
Maybe you should just look it up.
Hang on a sec. Oh, shit, it's Jen from Dawson's Creek. Michelle Williams.
Only one of Wayne's favorite actresses.
She's great. She's great. She's and good. She very nails talented. This so hard because she's playing a woman who's so finger bang fucked in the head that she doesn't know that she is basically capping her own children. And Leo has to... Oh, God, it's just tough, people.
Yes, it is.
But check it out, though, because it's a hell of a tour de force, let me tell you. Yep. Marty Scorsese. There you go.
Yeah, well, yeah. And we'll be talking more Marty Scorsese
next week.
Coming weekend with the Irishman Review. Plug, plug, plug.
Nice one.
My number six is a film which could be probably equally drama, equally thriller. I ended up deciding to put it here because I think it's very psychological and a bit like Shutter Island, probably in that sense. It's Lynn Ramsey's We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Now, I never saw this because I'm a chicken.
It's a film which starts with a woman being treated like a pariah. It's a woman played by Tilda Swinton, and you don't know why. And then the film jumps back and forth between past and present. And in the past, she's given birth to a boy, Kevin. And as he grows up, their bond becomes more and more strange, shall we say.
All right.
He doesn't, he's hard for her and she's trying her level best and he's just not responding.
So what, he's drifting?
Even his baby, for example, when dad picks him up, stops crying. But when mum's trying to breastfeed, wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the film posits a lot of interesting questions. It's based on a book, I'm pretty sure. Like, how much of what Kevin goes on to be, and I don't want to spoil too much, even though this film is...
I think I know what it's about. The kid does shit, right?
Yeah, he does. He does some really bad shit, ultimately. Right. How much of it is her fault, which is what people assume and believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's being treated like a pariah. And how much of it is genetically encoded. So nature versus nurture in this very interesting way. I found it completely fascinating, this film. And
no, I bet it's a shrink you would.
So beautifully filmed by Lynn Ramsey as well, and powerfully performed by Tilda Swinton. Ezra Miller is the son.
Oh, the Flash.
Yeah, it's Kevin. And John C. Reilly is the father. So
Dewey Cox,
yep, correct.
Okay.
As shit as that film was.
Can I ask you, is it a hard watch? Do you see what the kid does?
Not really.
Or are you hearing about it?
You hear about it. There's one element that you see.
Okay.
Element.
Oh my God. Is it hard to watch?
No, I think everyone should watch this movie.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So,
it's an excellent film and it's why it's my number six.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Thriller of the decade.
Very cool. Hmm. All right. My number five is a good old fashioned popcorner. It's The Accountant. Again,
wow.
Ben F., I love this show.
I liked it a lot, mainly because I was the only person in the world at fooled.
I know! Guys, there's a moment in here that Paul, for once, did not pick, but everyone
totally
else...
Totally didn't see. Everyone else in the world...
But you should have loved it because of that, man.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah,
very
okay. Good. So The Accountant is about Christian Wolfe, played by Ben Affleck, who's a mathematics savant with a, you know, he's because he's so, like, genius level, he has... zero social skills. So he's uses a small town CPA's office as a cover, and he makes a living as a freelance accountant for dangerous criminal organizations. But then J.K. Simmons is a treasury agent who's hot on his heels, and he takes on a state-of-the-art robotics company as a legitimate client. And basically, it turns out that there's this discrepancy that involves millions of dollars, and he starts to actually get into it and figure out why. But it turns out he's kind of a badass as well. And what was cool about the movie...
It's a big plot synopsis.
Well, sorry, yeah. But basically, an accountant who can kick ass, that doesn't happen in the real world. I'm sorry, accountants. It don't. All right, so...
I will now answer for all accountants.
Fuck you, fuckball.
I bet you'll get some accountants saying, hey, man,
vote for Paul.
I once took out an entire country, so fuck you. Fair enough, all right. But the coolness of it is, because he's so fucked up in the head, right, whenever he doesn't get closure on a deal or something, he has to do all this weird shit, like listen to really loud music and kind of rock himself in this dark room. Just weird shit like
he's
that.
He's autistic, right?
He's autistic, yeah. Okay, but like the fact that they're treating it like this, I don't know, it made it really, really cool. And I, even though this character is unlikable because he has no social skills, you still kind of like him. Like you still kind of, or at least you throw in with him. So it's really, really great. And I expected nothing from the movie. He has gone on to not do anything as this good since.
What, Ben Affleck?
Yep.
Or do you mean the director Gavin O'Connor?
No, Ben Affleck.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go. The Accountant. I would definitely check it out if you're looking for some fun.
Absolute surprise.
I adore it.
Wasn't expecting that one. My number five is a little film which I caught on Netflix, having heard nothing about it. And
oh, those are good.
Kind of just throwing it up there and being really genuinely surprised.
At
and
five. Okay. What is it? What is it?
Yeah, it's called The Invitation.
All right.
Directed by Karen Kusama, who did Girlfight with Michelle Rodriguez originally, and then more recently did Destroyer with Nicole Kidman. But this film blows both of those films out of the water.
Tell me all about it. I've not heard of this.
This is a film which follows Tom Hardy Light, i.e. Logan Marshall Green from, what was the pretty cool techno thriller?
Oh, the one with the robot everything. I can't remember what it's called.
Something.
Yes, sorry.
Upgrade. Not anything. Well done, Paul.
It was you. Well done.
Yeah, and he is the ex-husband of a woman who, they lost their child, died.
Right.
And they broke up. She ends up in a cult,
right?
In effect, and he gets an invitation to come to her house with her new partner from the cult to kind of make amends. And she's invited all their old friends around, basically to say, look, you know, I'm sorry, I disappeared off. I want to show you my new husband, partner, whatever he is a good guy. And even though you're a bit weird about the cult, it's a good place.
So they all know she's in a cult?
Yes.
Okay.
So they all turn up there, and he's got his new girlfriend with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that's kind of encouraging, this is good for you, bury a few demons.
Yeah.
You know, sort this out. And the hardest part of the film to buy is, why would you accept an invite to your ex-wife who's been in a cult thing after your son has died?
Closure?
But yes, that's the point the film's trying to make. Anyway, then it becomes a psychological thriller because he starts wondering what the fuck's going on. He starts to believe that they're planning something nefarious.
Okay.
Right, for them all. But the film doesn't lead you down one way or the other up until the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Is he crazy because he's so overcome with grief, yes, being back, yes, in the house where his son died and, mm-hmm, all the rest of it and whatever, and all the emotions that are attached?
Yeah.
Or is it real and he's the only person who sees it and no one else believes him?
And all the way through, obviously, this is the fight you're having in your head as an audience, yeah, member. It sounds like it executes that quite well.
Yeah.
For
a very low budget film as well, with mostly characters or people you wouldn't recognize. It's great.
This is available on Netflix now?
Well, it was. I don't know anymore. John Carroll Lynch also plays he's a character actor you'll recognize immediately. He brings his real gravitas to the role as well.
Cool.
He's a friend from the cult.
Right.
Check it out. I know it's a little bit indie, a little bit left field here, but it really had made an impression.
No, that's
on me.
Cool.
And if I talk about top 10 surprising films of the decade, this will probably be in there as well.
The Invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one.
Thanks.
All right. Very good. We're going to skip back to you for a couple here because my number four is Prisoners.
Okay, so yeah, 7-4. Yep,
mm-hmm,
fair enough. All right, my number four is the most recent film on my list. It's a little bit of a spoiler for the end of the year here, but no way around it. My number four is Parasite.
I am going to watch that because since you mentioned it that first time and I never heard about it, I've heard heaps of crackers talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to pretend like I was the first person to...
It was not on my radar.
Bong Joon-ho owes me nothing, unlike the makers of Train to Busan, who pretty much I am solely responsible for its distribution in the West.
Department, yeah.
Yeah. Parasite, everyone's on board with it. And there is buzz about this film potentially, maybe, possibly even
being an
Academy Award nominee.
What?
Not just in Best Foreign Language, but in Best Picture.
Could you recap it for me, please?
Basically, this film follows a very low socioeconomic family in Seoul,
yep,
who, through various developments, become involved with a very wealthy family in Seoul,
right?
As they start to take roles from the wealthy family's existing kind of working class. So one kid gets to be the tutor, and then sees an opening for his sister to be, you know, the maid.
Okay.
Or no, mum to be the maid. Anyway, they all have the sister to be the art teacher and so on and so forth. So they become parasitic to this family, right?
Okay.
Now, this is very much a cross-genre one. It's not all the way a thriller. It's comedic in places. It's a drama in other places. It's
really
sociopolitical in terms of its commentary about class and the differences. And the film, the real strength of the film for me is it doesn't make it easy to... you're not sure who to root for. Like, no one's really bad.
Yeah.
No one in this film is really bad. And so your kind of allegiances are sort of drawn.
That's
cool. And the like. And it goes directions that you will not foresee. In the second half of the film is very thrilling, I'll put it that way.
Okay. No, I'm intrigued. Is it, I take it it's subtitled?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Because
we hate dubs.
That's how you should watch this film. If you've got a dub version, just immediately do not watch.
Yep.
Press back to whatever audio and then go with subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
You would lose, I think, a lot of nuance.
Parasite.
Parasite.
Excellent. Nice one. Unfortunately, we're also back to you because Nightcrawler was where I put number three.
Okay. All right.
That's how much I dug it.
I'm pretty sure my number one will be in your top two.
Sure.
I don't think my three or two will be. My number three is a film which I really adored. And it, again, surprised the shit out of me, as most... one didn't surprise the shit out of me, but three and two definitely did. This one is Eye in the Sky.
Good show.
Gavin Hood, directed in 2015.
I forgot about that one.
Stars Helen Mirren and Aaron Paul and Alan Rickman, I think, in his final role. And the guy from...
that's right.
Captain Phillips, which I also warred with whether that should be on this list. Barkhad Abdi. And it effectively is this political thriller where they have to make a decision in British Parliament whether they use their drone to bomb, and in coordination with the US, to bomb the shit out of a terrorist organization, knowing they're going to kill human collateral damage.
Yep.
And it follows this little girl who lives in the area, and she's floating around the edges, and then the operative on the ground who's trying to give them info whether or not the terrorist targets are in that house.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
What is fly about this show is that, first of all, it's not even pilots, so the people operating the drone aren't even at risk. Yet it somehow still pulls you in, and then Helen Mirren is this badass, like, I guess, general of sorts or whatever, who's in charge of everything, and she's messing around with beads.
Colonel.
Yep. And yeah, no, absolutely. And it goes all the way until like, actually getting someone who was responsible for a strike to actually go all the way to that place. And
all the way to the minister, who I think is from Game of Thrones. It's Jorah Mormont.
Oh, Jorah's in it. That's right. Yeah. No, this is a good call. You're going to win this one.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I don't believe that for a second.
I think it's
a great movie. If you haven't seen Eye in the Sky from 2015 and where they ultimately pull the trigger or not, please check this one out.
Great show. Completely Thank agree. You. My number two is Gone Girl.
Yeah, of course
Because of course it's in here.
Of course it is.
Now, just...
My number 11. My very, very late...
Yeah,
knock off my list.
Right. So if anyone hasn't seen this, and I don't think there is anyone who has seen this, but it's Ben Affleck again. He's a New York-based writer, and he's a glamorous wife named Amy Rosamund Pike Hotness. And
do you think when he married her...
Oh, God.
This was his reaction?
And I was afraid you wouldn't use this again until the end of the show, but there you are. Oh, dear. Okay. Now, everyone, Amy goes missing, hence she's the titular Gone Girl, and then Nick becomes a prime suspect in her disappearance. But the cool thing about the movie is you don't know until about halfway through, and then even when halfway through it is revealed what's really sort of happening, you still don't know if you like Nick or not. And then at the end of the movie... Yeah, then you know. But before that, it becomes this very convoluted kind of cool
thing. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, and even Doogie Howser is in it and stuff like that. But more than anything, it is perfectly executed.
Neil Patrick Harris,
yeah. So, I don't know. It's one, and this is the odd thing about this is, as a huge Rosamund Pike fan, I started disliking her in this movie because... She's such a bitch. All right. But a really, really clever bitch. So,
you dirty eating piece of slime.
A little bit.
You scum sucking pig.
Unfortunately, this sound is so goddamn goat. Long. Paul is a bitch. Paul's a bitch. All right. There you are. So,
Not sure that was aimed at you or her. Not sure.
It was definitely aimed at me.
Yeah, Gone of course Girl. It's on your list. I know how much you adore this film, and it's a very you choice.
And I saw it again recently and kept on watching it.
So lots of people in the Facebook community picked this one too. So it's a great choice. Well
but
played.
But don't see it with your lady.
Don't. Dan Brennick would say, not pick this from the Netflix and Sport podcast. Do not take a date to see this particular film.
That's right.
All right, my number two is a film you don't think you've even seen, and it's my kind of weird one, and I don't care. I have to be honest.
Good.
I'm going to lose this year. Doesn't matter.
Now you want your
directed friend. By Adam Wingard. This is The Guest from 2014.
I keep hearing about this one.
Yeah, it basically follows Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey is this soldier who...
Blonde fellow, yes.
Yeah, comes to this family who've lost their son in the war, in the Iraq war, or whatever conflict it is, I do apologize. And he says, I was your son's best mate in the army, and I promised to look in on you when I finish serving my time. And he kind of ingratiates himself with the family from there. And I don't want to spoil this one too much because not many people have seen it. It's kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But... he's not what he appears to be. I'll just say that much.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there. And there is violence and there is death and there is some cool action sequences.
Oh, really?
Semi-action. I mean, it's more of a thriller because you're waiting. What's going to go wrong? How's this going to go wrong? You know, one, he's helping the kid in the family sort of stand up for himself. And at one point he helps the girl in the family. The girl, she's 19, somewhere in that age range. You know, some dude's making a move on her and he sort of steps in and stabs a guy in the thigh type.
Fuck.
Because he's a badass.
Yeah, because he's ex-soldier Marine boy. Mm-hmm. Bust it. Oh, that's cool. The Guest.
The Guest. And then how things turn from there. And it will not go in the direction that you're predicting.
This is number two?
Yeah. I love the shit out of
this. This is huge.
Yeah, it's a very me film, which probably says a lot about it. And I don't want to say too much more.
Okay. Over 10 years, this is Paul's number two choice.
Thriller.
For thrillers. Yes. Wow. Big in.
But I will say this about this list. On any given day, probably the top eight could switch around.
Absolutely. When you're going over a whole decade.
So close.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking matter of just... And I just... When I was making this, I went, The Guest, I haven't watched that in a long time. Fuck, that was a good movie. And it just kept moving higher and higher up the list, ultimately falling just short of the very best.
Cool.
I wonder if you got number one the same. If it doesn't, you have missed out.
It won't be the same. I don't think it will be.
Oh, dear sir.
Because, first of all, I'd like to tell you that on my honorable mentions list is something that Paul hates. I was going to put it in there just to piss him off, but I chose not to. The Girl on the Train is a great fucking movie that I almost put on to piss off Paul. I still think it's a great movie. It's on my honorable mentions just, you know, because I'm being nice today. I don't know.
Wait, wait. So you're being nice by not putting it on the list?
Just because then it would incite some rage from you.
You've always been a cunt.
Jesus Christ.
And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
Ironically.
Give us your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number 1 then.
All right. My number 10 was Limitless. My number 9 was The Town. Number 8 was Zero Dark Thirty. 7, Get Out. 6, Shutter Island. 5, The Accountant. 4, Prisoners. 3, Nightcrawler. 2, Gone Girl. And my number 1 is Sicario. Right? Because that should be a no surprise to anyone. Sicario is the best movie, like, almost ever, just about, kind of. Okay.
Wow.
Well,
it's that's high estimation.
Thriller. This is the
We didn't talk about this, but should we, maybe not immediately after we do the best of the year, but maybe 3-4 months into next year, should we do the best 10 films of the decade?
I don't know if I can do it, man. I don't know how to think like that.
That's a yes. All right, moving on.
No, because we might have to... It depends on what we choose. Because if it's all the same as this shit, we're going to have to say this shit again and be boring for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. A few months down the track.
No, but a few months is still boring. All right, so we'll see, everyone. We'll see.
How about we play the You're a Cunt?
Ironically, cunt. everyone, Emily Blunt plays like an FBI person who's so cool that she gets to shoot crackers and she's leading a bunch of SWAT-looking crackers. And then, right, has to go into like the badass, nasty ball sack part of Mexico and then bust up some motherfuckers who are like like drug crackers. And they... Actually, they're not crackers. They're Mexican.
I was going to say.
Sorry. But I believe that this is crackling, like the absolute... The shit that goes down, especially this scene on a like a in a highway, bitch, where everyone's getting shot down and stuff.
That's the highlight.
That shit is good. And it's full of Denis Villeneuve type. Like, there's a dog barking, which just puts you on edge as a because you're waiting for something to happen. But I think that every single beat in this thing, all the way to the end, and all the Benicio del Toro-ness of it, is still killing, man. There's not a moment.
No pun intended.
Yeah, true. For most of this movie, you're on one ass cheek, man. One ass cheek, clenched rectum. So I love the movie. I think it's wildly rewatchable, despite being quite nasty to watch. And it's the balls. So,
and you've rewatched it a few times?
Man, I think I've seen this 5 times.
Hot damn.
In 5 years. So there you go.
All right.
Sicario. Sick.
Very nice. All right. Well, then my 10 through 2. And then revealing my number 1. Number 10, Searching. Number 9, Wind River. 8, Nightcrawler. 7, Prisoners. 6, We Need to Talk About Kevin. 5, The Invitation. 4, Parasite. 3, Eye in the Sky. Number 2, The Guest. And my number 1 can be summarized with this song, because it's Sicario.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Oh, my God! This isn't me! You're a bitch! That was the most crowbarred, like, it's because of this, because I wanted to play it anyway. Wham!
I was genuinely shocked because you, of course.
It's I'm Sicario. Surprised yours is number one. Is Sicario? Wow.
Yeah, I was when you were like, no, it won't be the same. I'm like, oh fuck.
No, because
if Wales have Sicario, I've got a chance.
I didn't think you liked it like I liked it, but there you are. This is a bit of a surprise. By
this
the way,
is one that has grown in my estimation. This is a film, and here's why. It because it sits in your psyche somewhere in the back part of your brain. It just sort of leaches through its. It's decay, and it just makes it sound horrible, but I mean in a good way. Like, it lingers with you, and it becomes more powerful the more you think about it. And I remember we reviewed it, and I gave it like 3.5. Yeah, it's definitely jumped to half a star for me in the interim.
Really?
Because it's a very well-made film. I had such high expectations having read all the press about it at the time, which probably worked against it. But now I've got past that, and I can just kind of accept it or take it on board for what it is. To me, a far superior film to Arrival.
I saw this movie with a Latina girl, and she said that was really freaking awesome. Then I showed her the sequel, which I thought was not as good, but still very good. Right? I don't know.
It's all right.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it. A bit cool on it.
I think we gave it 3 stars.
Yeah. Give or take. Yeah, I still dug it, and she did not see it like that well. She's like, and you know, I just showed her because there's lots of Spanish in it, but. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So there you go.
Nothing more to say, really.
No, it's the shit. So
except Sicario. To emphasize that scene when they're trying to get out of Mexico.
Oh, man.
One you talked about. I think that's fantastic. And I also think towards the end of the film, it sidelines Emily Blunt a little bit. That's my big knock on the film, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, because it does switch sort of in its climax and it becomes something else. But I believe it didn't take anything away from it. Because everyone in this movie, even Burn Notice is in this movie. And he's really
Jeffrey Donovan.
Yeah, he's really cool in it. And usually I don't really rate him. But there you are. So
yeah, a bit of John Berenthal.
John Berenthal, who I go.
Of course, the man, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin is Josh Brolin. This was virtually everything. Was that his year, 2015? No, it wasn't.
It was probably
the Thanos year was his year, but he was in everything.
Film, yeah, he was in a lot of films in the last 5 years.
He's doing great.
Almost all been very, very good. So yeah, great number one. Obviously, 100% agree. We've just crossed each other out on that particular
choice.
This
has been an oddly agreeable episode. Sorry, everyone.
It can happen. It's hard to, I mean, had you stuck in there, I don't know, Ghostbusters. I'd have been upset.
Now I'm upset I didn't. Because it was from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I mean the 2000 and whatever.
Oh, that.
Yeah, the Girl Power one. Yeah. Or, the Girl on the Train. You'd have got Rise, that'd be there.
Oh, man, I should have put it on.
Very quickly, don't talk about why, but just give us your honorable mentions.
Sure.
To rattle them off.
Okay, other than Looper, it was Enemy. I liked it.
Really?
Yeah, because it was before the thing at the end with the spider.
Weird as fuck, that movie.
Yeah, it was weird as fuck, but it was really well done. Now that Denis Villeneuve knew. Yes, Girl on the Train. Source Code. I liked Source Code.
Yeah.
Very good show.
Yep.
Hannah. Really liked it. Didn't expect to.
Totally forgot about Hannah.
Fucking great, man.
Shit, I've been championing that film. Yeah, okay, that's down my honorable mentions.
And, well, as another surprise, Don't Breathe.
Yes.
I liked Don't Breathe, and it was a horror movie sort of a horror thriller.
Yeah, again, that could straddle the line between.
That Paul said, you've got to watch this. I went, really? And then I was like, shit, this is
great. Yeah,
it was
in the top 10 of that year, I'm pretty sure.
So baller.
Yeah. I'm just going to add a couple more we haven't mentioned. The Man from Nowhere, which is a 2010 sort of action thriller.
I see.
It has a couple of action scenes, but the rest of it's very much a thriller.
Anyone I know?
No, it's a South Korean film.
Okay.
And Widows from last year. I thought that was really good.
Oh, with the Liam Neeson-ness?
Liam Neeson and all those girls,
yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez, yep. Elizabeth Debicki, and Viola Davis. I thought that was a really good film and didn't get the plaudits it deserved.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
All right, that's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode with a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Adam Miller, one of the top level patrons of the show. Number three, Buried. Got a little bit of love in the Facebook community. I've said all these.
I didn't have the balls to see it because I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah, look, in that case, it would absolutely, press your buttons, I'm sure. Good film. I enjoyed it as well.
Mm.
Number two, Get Out. So there you go. So Adam was right there. And number one, Inception. So we have ruled that out for a different list, but totally understandable.
But yeah, totally.
Yep. Chris Genie, number three, Gone Girl. Number two, Shutter Island. Number one, Nightcrawler. So there's a vote for you.
Cool, yeah.
For sure. Gerald Morris and the Two Peas on a podcast. Black Swan. I hate that movie.
Do you hate the movie?
Yeah, I really hate it.
Now,
it just speaks, it came at a wrong time in my life and speaks at certain things that I was really grappling with.
So I fucking hate it.
Yep.
Is it the whole? Okay, fair enough.
Yep. But I totally understand it because lots of people love the shit.
Lots of people love the show.
Yeah. Prisoners and Searching with Gerald. Other choices. Excellent choices.
That's your new.
Just to make up there. Sorry, Gerald. Tom Ashdown, we need to talk about Kevin. Joker.
Thriller, you say?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I guess so.
And number one, Nightcrawler. Yes. Joe Blackmore had Get Out, Law Abiding Citizen.
Oh, come on now, man. Really? Fuck your own fucking, what's his name?
Butler.
He was shit. You know what? Actually, that movie would have been great if you didn't start hating the protagonist halfway through. It's just like, what the fuck? Yeah, sorry. Interesting though, interesting choice.
Okay.
All right, he's voting for you this week.
Do you want to hear Joe's reaction when he hears your response there?
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah!
Okay, so now you're just making up shit to do with all the things you did. Because he won't like mine. He won't be saying no damn yeah. Fuck you, Paul.
That was sarcasm. Just to be clear.
Can't pick it up.
Okay, moving along. His number three was Shutter Island.
Word.
Philip Meany had I Saw the Devil, another South Korean film. Very good. Two, Enemy. There you go. And number one, The Handmaiden. Ooh, The Handmaiden.
I haven't seen The Handmaiden.
It's a good pick.
It's The Shizzle, right?
Yeah. I'd almost put it as a drama more than a thriller, but it definitely has thriller elements. So for sure. Jake Humphrey had The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Prisoners and Skyfall, the best Bond movie ever.
Thriller?
Well,
it's... All right, actually, it's a spy thriller. You could probably say that.
Hmm. Tammy Davis had Baby Driver. Yeah, I'm not sure what genre that is, to be honest.
I neither do I.
That was really hard. The Imitation Game and number one, Wind River.
Boom.
Etienne, for the on, Xavier.
Savay.
Fuck, I'll get that right one day. Inception, a mesmerizing experience that is simply stunning both visually and narratively. Do not argue, cannot argue, would not argue.
Word.
The Killing of a Sacred Deer. I like that movie too.
Did you?
Yeah, more of a drama than a thriller per se, which is, again, why it's off my list. But the bizarre tone builds up tension throughout, and Barry Keoghan eating spaghetti cannot be unseen or unheard. It's a scene in the film.
Okay.
And number whatever, Sicario. An incredible, suspenseful thriller from start to finish and completely immersive in its depiction of conflict at the US-Mexico border pre-Donald Trump.
Totes.
Chris Sutherland had Limitless because it gave us great TV show that sadly was cancelled. There you go, Wayne. John Wick. I think it's an action film.
Mm.
And Mission Impossible Fallout. I think it's also an action film.
Yeah, okay.
But I gotta say that. Yep, absolutely. Billy Dunham. Good friend. We watched The Thing podcast. Searching, Prisoners, and Parasite. Parasite is number one.
Damn. I gotta see that damn thing.
Luke Alexander said, look, everyone's always said the good ones, but so he'll go for Unknown, Buried, Damn, and Source Code.
Cool.
There you are.
Is Unknown the Liam Neeson one?
Yes, that was the Liam Neeson one. And last couple to wrap it up. Thomas Hall had Split, Joker, and Nightcrawler.
Split. If I could have put that on, I would have. Split was the shizzle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you put it on?
Because it's more horror, I thought.
I'm Thomas is a thriller.
Oh, shit. Damn it.
Aaron Dundee, Prisoners, Nightcrawler, Gone Girl. Blake Jarvis, another patron to the show. Buried, Nightcrawler, Inception, again.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Chesel had Inception, John Wick, and Hateful Eight. Kristen Arcaro had Black Swan, Ex Machina, and Gone Girl. Ex Machina, I thought, Ex might Machina. Make your list.
To me, that's sci-fi, man.
Yeah. You can totally see that one, too. Antoine had Eye in the Sky, Hotel Mumbai from this year. Very good film.
A tough film.
And The Gift, which was interesting as well.
Mm.
And last ones, Lou Fry, Shutter Island, Prisoners, and Get Out. David Powell, Buried, Gone Girl, and Parasite. And he had honorable mention of Inception.
I'm watching that.
Because he couldn't decide which way to go with that one. And Mina Harker had, Wayne, I watched Don't Breathe on your recommendation and loved it. If it's not on your list, you've lost my vote. Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'll get one vote this week.
I did mention it.
Number three, Ghost Protocol. Number two, Argo. Number one, Don't Breathe for Mina. And that
Ghost Protocol. I love Mina. Fuck it. You don't have to vote for me, but I love that you like Ghost Protocol because it's the shit.
Oh, last one, Jonathan Lamb. Get Out, number one. There you go, Wayne. Number two, Annihilation. I think it's more sci-fi for me.
Okay.
And number three, Parasite. Again.
Boom.
That's everybody's responses in the Facebook list community. Thank you so much for getting back to us. Didn't put this one out wide to Twitter because we had the bonus episode out this week and that was got priority in terms of promoting. Plenty of responses. Nonetheless, thank you so much to everyone who gets back to us with their thoughts on the show. And indeed, Wayne, how can people do that?
They can Google the Countdown Podcast and you'll find all our shit. Or you can send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at the Countdown PC. Facebook is the community link in the show notes. You can follow us on Podbean where we host the show, like episodes and all the rest of that stuff there. Leave comments if you like.
Straight up.
And indeed, ccradio.com.au for our show and a bunch of other great Aussie podcasts there as well. We have a Patreon if you want to get involved with a whole bunch of extra content, which is built up over the last almost couple of years now. So there's heaps of extra stuff there. If you're at all interested, check that out. The link is also in the show notes. And I think that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Wayne, what's happening next week then for episode 245 of The Countdown?
Well, today you got thrillers. Next week you're going to get some drama.
We're going to get dramatic on you.
That's right. The top 10 dramas of the 2010s.
That's right. Almost as dramatic as this.
Oh, God, are you going to...
Yeah!
What the fuck? All right, you've overplayed your hand. You've overplayed the hand.
That was a bit loud. I forgot to adjust the sound. My apologies to everyone's ears there.
And me.
I've had fun. That might become part of it. It won't be used so often in the future.
Great. You just lost everyone.
Sure, I lost votes. For sure. All right. So dramas next week. Then we've got a couple other ones to wrap up the year before we roll into the best of 2019, as we always do at the end of the year. Looking forward to this one. This one could be...
Because drama's drama, man. Like, it's like...
Drama's wide.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
You could drop a few. Okay. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough list to put together, but that's why it's fun, people.
That is exactly it. All right. Thank you so much for joining us again today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard, which other than Flash has been sadly underutilized.
Okay. That means that you shouldn't use it.
How dare you?
Dynamite drop in money at broadcast school has really paid off.
Shithouse.
I think that's what we're all out on. Cheers. Are you ready, sir?
The first rule of Fight Club is yes.
No, I know what will get us going. It will just pump us in exactly the right way. Are you ready?
one. Yeah! There it is. Anyone would be there. You know what's scary? I'm warming to that.
I'm hoping you say something really good this episode. Don't apply it.
That's what I reckon happens. Okay?
Do you reckon at the end of that process, or indeed when Bradley Cooper's character took the pill, he was a bit like...
Are you fucked up? Paul was going to cure it, then he fucked it up. You know what? I want you to give you this, so go ahead, try again.
The first time, my thumb didn't press play. The second time, I just had still
yeah, the wrong
mute.
Input.
I had mute. I'll try a third time.
Any chance you can leave this in?
For the blooper.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
He fucked up again! Oh, he fucked it again! Oh, please leave this in the real show, man.
No! Oh, God. All right. Oh, one last try. Here we go.
Okay. I can't remember her name. Sorry. But the chick, she was...
Maybe you should just look it up.
All right, hang on a sec.
Wayne, when he doesn't think he has to look up a chick's name.
I don't know how you're going to work that one in.
Oh, obviously, that's another blooper.